الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعاهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طاهرا بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر قال ومن كفر فأمتعه قليلا ثم أضطره إلى عذاب النار وبئس المصير وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا وبعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين Alhamdulillah, today is the blessed day of Eid al-Adha. And we have two groups of Muslims today. There are Muslims that are there at the Hajj, performing the rites and the rituals and the different obligations of the Hajj. And then there are Muslims at their residences, like ourselves, that are in the masajid, packed into the masajid and the convention centers, performing Salat al-Eid, reciting the takbirat, and getting ready to go and sacrifice animals for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one thing is a common link between these two groups of Muslims. There's one common thread between what everyone is doing today. And that common thread is that they are all fulfilling, or they are all rather following in the footsteps of the Prophet, the great Khalil of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whether they are the Hujjaj or whether they are the residents. Everything that we're doing today is in emulation and is in following the great footsteps and the example set for us by Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the sacrificing of animals on the day of Eid al-Adha, he said, "Huwa sunnatu abikum Ibrahim." This is the tradition of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. All the different rites and the rituals of Hajj, the Hujjaj today will be stoning the Jamara. That is also a tradition of our forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so what I wanted to talk about here is we understand one thing, that all of this is being done in following the example that Ibrahim alayhi salam set. But of course, one thing we often talk about here on the day of Eid al-Adha is going beyond just what we're doing, looking beyond the surface, not discussing just the ritual itself that we're performing, but what's the spirit behind it? And the spirit of all these rituals and all these traditions of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that in the Quran, and that spirit is sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a pillar of sacrifice, was the ultimate exemplar when it came to sacrifice. From leaving his family, biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, in an uninhabited, lifeless valley, to being thrown into the fire, standing up to all of his people in his tribe and proclaiming the oneness of Allah when he was nothing but a child, to even confronting his father and explaining to his father that worshipping idols is not the true religion. This is wrong. We worship one Allah alone. All the way to taking his son for sacrifice. When Allah commanded him, sacrifice your son, he was willing and he was ready. Ibrahim alayhi salam, that's who he was. And Allah captures this very beautifully. In Surah Al-An'am, where Allah says, the statement of Ibrahim, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My salah and my sacrifices, my prayers and my sacrifices, my living and dying, everything is for the sake of Allah. Allah says, وَإِذِ بِتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. Allah tested Ibrahim. And there's different words in the Arabic language, even within the Quran. Allah uses different words when He talks about testing people. The word ibtila means a very, very severe test. It means a very, very difficult test. A test that the ordinary person is not up to. He can't fulfill this type of a test. That's how Allah tested Ibrahim. Not with the ordinary tests and trials that we go through, but with extremely difficult, high-level trials. Allah tested Ibrahim. How did Ibrahim respond? فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. He completed each and every single one of them. He came through every single time Allah called on him, he came through. That is who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. But what I want to talk about specifically today is going beyond that. What is the outcome of such sacrifice? We know a person becomes beloved to Allah, he's rewarded by Allah, he goes to Jannah, he goes to paradise, Allah is pleased with him, we know this. But in terms of even the short term, the life of this world, when a person is willing to prioritize his life based on what Allah wants from him and what Allah is asking for him, then what is the immediate result? What is the immediate benefit to responding to sacrifice with labbaik, Allahumma labbaik? What does that result in? Allah states that here as well in Surah Al-Baqarah, in those ayat I was reciting. The immediate impact and the immediate result is Allah says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I will make you a leader for humanity. Allah takes that person and He elevates him. Because oftentimes when sacrificing and we're rearranging our lives in order to please Allah, the first concern that occurs in the mind of the person, or rather the first doubt that shaitan places into the heart of the person, is that what will become of you? You'll be nobody. If you worry about going to the masjid rather than working overtime, then you won't get nowhere in your career. How are you, if you worry about performing Salatul Jumu'ah in the masjid, even if it causes a little bit of inconvenience at your work or at your shop, the first doubt that creeps into your mind is, then how are you going to make money? You're going to miss out on customers. How are you going to pay off your house and your children's college fund and this and this and this? So the first doubt he places into your mind is rearranging your priorities based on what Allah is asking from you will lead to failure. You're hurting yourself. Allah guarantees in the Quran, He says, I will make you the leader of humanity. I'll raise you to the pinnacle of society. Today, every single time we perform salah, every single time we pray, when we sit in our tashahud, and after we recite the tashahud, we begin reciting the durood, the salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. And in that durood and in that salawat, whose name do we mention? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Each and every single Muslim, millions and billions of Muslims, whenever they pray, 5 times a day, any nawafil, any sunnah prayers, they mention the name of Ibrahim in their prayers. Tell me somebody who has more respect than Ibrahim. Today I feel proud to name my son Ibrahim. Tell me somebody else who has that amount of respect on this earth. Ibrahim put everything aside. His own well-being, his family's well-being, his financial circumstances and situation. He was willing to sacrifice everything if that would please Allah. Allah didn't ruin him. He didn't die as, you know, some disrespected, some humiliated, homeless pauper. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him, made him the leader of humanity. He's called Abul Anbiya. He's the father of the prophets. He had two sons, Ishaq and Ismail. And this is the other point I'm getting to. Allah's guarantee is, إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I will not only make you a leader, قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. But I will also make your children the leaders of humanity. And that is the true legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's something we are all concerned about today. Our children. We want the best for our children. We're worried about the well-being of our children. We want them to succeed personally, financially, emotionally. We want them to succeed. We want them to be safe. We want nothing but the best for them. We want better for them than we had for ourselves. And not only that, as they begin to grow older and older, because of our short-sightedness, when they're young, we don't think about this. We don't understand this. But when they begin to get older and they become teenagers, and now they're about to become independent adults, that's when the realization sets in, and then we become concerned about their spirituality. Will they have a relationship with Allah or not? Will they have a relationship with Allah or not? And what will be the condition of that relationship? Will it be the once a year or twice a year Eid relationship? Will it be the 1 month a year Ramadan relationship? Will it be the once a week Jumu'ah relationship? Or will they have a daily, fruitful, enriching, enlightening relationship with their Creator and their Lord Allah? It concerns us. But what's the solution? How long are we just going to cry, and when are we going to become proactive in implementing the solution? And the solution is lying in the Quran, within the story of Ibrahim. This occasion of Eid al-Adha, the celebration of the Hajj, the performance of the Hajj, this is all an implementation of that solution. This was the legacy of Ibrahim. He was willing to sacrifice. That same son, that when Allah commanded him, go and sacrifice your son, slaughter your own son. And Ibrahim held him by the hand and walked him towards slaughtering him like an animal. And the son was willingly going along as well. That same son, not only did Allah save him, but in these ayat I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the honor to stand by the side of his father Ibrahim and build the Kaaba with their bare hands. Build the Kaaba with their bare hands. That's what happens when parents and families are willing to put Allah before their own personal wants and desires. When they're willing to build a relationship with Allah by rearranging their own priorities. This is what happens. Ibrahim was willing to sacrifice. He had two sons. What did his sons become? Did they end up okay? Did they get a decent education? Were they well-to-do? Forget about all of that. Allah made both of his sons, Ishaq and Ismail, prophets and messengers of Allah. And then Ishaq, he had a son. His name was Ya'qub. Ya'qub was also a prophet. Ibrahim's son is a prophet. Ibrahim's grandson is a prophet. Ya'qub had a son named Yusuf. Ibrahim's great-grandson is a prophet. And as far as Ibrahim alayhi salam's other son was concerned, Ismail, Ibrahim raised his hands in front of the Kaaba. And he said, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Oh Allah, this uninhabited place where we are constructing this Kaaba, that it's a fledgling community. Send from amongst them a messenger, a prophet, the likes of which humanity has never seen before. He will come amongst them. He will recite the ayat, the verses, the miraculous signs of Allah before these people. He will purify the hearts of these people. He will teach them the Qur'an. He will teach them how to live the Qur'an. And eventually, who was the result of the supplication? It was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah did send a prophet amongst those people in that fledgling community of Makkah. He sent Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah did not forget the sacrifices of Ibrahim. He sent Muhammad, but who did he send him from? He sent him from the progeny and the offspring and the children of Ibrahim alayhi wasallam. This is what is at stake today. This is what we need to talk about today. We're standing before the legacy of a great man. But one of the greatest lessons he taught to us, especially today, here and now, as a minority community, struggling to transfer, to instill the identity of the Islam within our future generations and our children, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the ultimate example. So basically, In the second khutbah right now, I'll explain the other minor details or the rules or the regulations of the different rites or different things that we have to offer in regards to Eid al-Adha, the sacrifice and other things. But I want to conclude the first khutbah here with this message. What am I basically presenting before the community here is simply this. We all have obligations, we all have responsibilities, we all have different things, goals and ambitions, and different things we want to accomplish, and things that we want to do in our lives. But we all have to understand, Allah must play the most important role within our lives. He must be the most central focus within our lives. And we all have choices to make on a daily basis of choosing one over the other. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has asked from us, or whatever I feel like doing. The more we begin to shift and rearrange our priorities towards Allah and what He would love for us to do, and what will bring us closer to Him, what will make us more beloved to Him, the more we shift in that direction, the more not only are we benefiting ourselves in the life of the hereafter, but the more we are benefiting ourselves in the life of this world, and most importantly, the better we are setting up our children to be good Muslims, to be devout slaves of Allah, to be close and loved by Allah, both in this life and in the life of the hereafter. May Allah give us all the ability to implement this and to understand the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and to raise our children according to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم كذلك سخرها لكم لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم وبشر المحسنين. So as it is the occasion of Eid al-Adha, there are a few other details, or there are a few details, rules and regulations that we need to understand in regards to some of the obligations that are upon us in regards to Eid al-Adha. And I thought I would save this for the very end here. The very first thing that we obviously know, there is a sacrifice that is involved with the occasion of Eid al-Adha. The details, very briefly, last Friday I explained the rules and regulations of sacrifice in great amount of detail, but I will highlight a couple of things here. Who has to offer the sacrifice? Anyone who is obligated to be paying zakat. Anyone who pays zakat is wealthy enough, has enough savings that he is obligated to pay zakat, that person also needs to be offering a sacrifice. A goat, a sheep, a lamb, these type of animals, they constitute one sacrifice. The larger animals like cows or camels or buffaloes, they constitute seven sacrifices. So a person needs to offer, who is capable of paying zakat, obligated to pay zakat, needs to offer at least one sacrifice. That needs to be understood. We do not have to give sacrifices on behalf of our minor children. We can if we'd like to. The more you do, the better it is, the more rewarding it is. But we're not obligated to. The next thing is that, do I have to give the sacrifice? What if I don't? I'm not able to do it this year. Then what's the answer to this? The Prophet ﷺ, in an authentic narration, he says that a person who is capable of offering the sacrifice and he intentionally chooses not to offer the sacrifice, the Prophet ﷺ says, this person should not come pray Eid with us. This person has no place in our community. This is the Prophet ﷺ speaking. So he takes it very, very seriously. He's trying to stress upon us the importance of this sacrifice. This is once again the right of Allah upon us. So, if you haven't made any arrangements for sacrifice, the good news is that time is not up. Today is not the only day of sacrifice. We are allowed to sacrifice the day of Eid and the 2 days after Eid. So tomorrow is Saturday and then is Sunday, the day after. It's a weekend, there's plenty of time, plenty of opportunities. So if for whatever reason you have not arranged a sacrifice, you have not planned to offer a sacrifice, and you are obligated to, then please make the arrangement, make the time. It's a little bit of difficulty, but that difficulty goes a long way in building our relationship and our connection to Allah. The other question a lot of times people have is, what if I'm offering the sacrifice, or I ask my brother or my cousin or my uncle to do the sacrifice for me, you know, in another country? wherever you're originally from, Pakistan, Egypt, Morocco, wherever you're from. That is allowed, that is permissible. However, I strongly recommend that you do offer the sacrifice here locally for a couple of different reasons. That is more in line with the spirit of why this sacrifice was enacted. It's also to share part of that meat and part of that sacrifice with the poor and the needy within our own communities. The other thing it is, this is also an opportunity. It's not. Don't look at it as an obligation. Don't look at the sacrifice as an obligation. Rather, look at it as an educational opportunity. Teach your children practically. This is a part of our deen. This is a part of our tradition. We sacrifice an animal for the sake of Allah. So this is, I strongly recommend. However, it is permissible if you are having the sacrifice done in another country. The other thing that is related to this occasion of Eid al-Adha is the takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. These takbirat, this is an important part of these of the observing of Eid al-Adha. And the takbirat are to be done from the morning of Yawm Arafah all the way till the Salat al-Asr of the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, which will be Monday. So from here on out, all the way till the Salat al-Asr of Monday, at every time you pray one of the fard prayers, the fard salawat, then after that, say the takbirat. This is for men and women, this is for everyone. So we should say the takbirat after every salah we perform till Salat al-Asr on Monday evening. This is the other act or the other ritual that is involved with Eid al-Adha. Aside from that, then Eid is an occasion to celebrate. Eid is an occasion to enjoy the time with your family and your friends and to enjoy the blessings of Allah. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ has forbidden us from fasting on the day of Eid and fasting on the 3 days after Eid. So Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we should not fast. It is forbidden to fast. So if you are in the habit of regularly fasting, mashallah, very good. But make sure that you do not fast before Tuesday, because it is forbidden to fast on the day of Eid and on the 3 days after Eid al-Adha. So these are just a couple of the rules and regulations or requirements. And one last thing is a question coming up in the minds of a lot of people, and people hear a lot of different things about it. Today is also unique because the day of Eid is on a Friday. So we have two prayers or two khutbahs that occur on the same day. You have the Salat al-Eid with its khutbah, and you have Salat al-Jum'ah with the khutbah. So what is the rule in the regulation? If we prayed Eid here, do we still have to pray Salat al-Jum'ah or not? There is a difference of opinion about this, because there are different occasions in the life of the Prophet ﷺ where he made certain concessions. However, the strongest or the majority opinion amongst the scholars is that the Salatul Jumu'ah should take place in the masjid. There should be a Salatul Jumu'ah organized in the masjid. And as far as the community is concerned, it is strongly recommended, if not required, that everyone do pray Salatul Jumu'ah even on the day of Eid. So there is some difference of opinion there. However, the majority opinion and the safer opinion is also that everyone who has prayed Eid should also make time to pray Salatul Jum'ah on the same day, of course, unless they're traveling or they traveled out from far away to come and join us for their Eid prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to fulfill all the rights and the obligations related to Salatul Eid and Eid al-Adha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجلنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون كل عام وأنتم بخير عيد مبارك بالمقدر